We started a series on the book of Esther, and Esther has a lot of nuggets in it, so we still maybe have a couple of messages left. This morning we want to continue in the book of Esther. As you can see, we had Esther in our vacation Bible school. We have still her in the back, Queen Esther, and we have the crowns that the kids made, and we just had a great time studying the book of Esther. Last time we talked about the book of Esther, I talked about the honorable Mordecai versus the dishonorable Haman. So this morning we want to look at how Esther had gave two feasts. So take your Bible and turn to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 5. We're going to look at, again, Esther this morning and the two feasts that she gave. If you remember the video that we showed, they was talking about Esther brought the king in and she didn't give him her request, and then she said, well, I'm going to invite you and Haman to the second feast. So Esther was the type that wanted to wait on the Lord before she made a decision. Esther chapter 5, if you're there, say amen. Now I want you to hold your hand there in chapter 7 also, but we're going to look at one verse in Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Then we'll jump to Esther 5. Esther chapter 4, verse 16 says, go gather together, this is Esther talking, all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. So she said, Mordecai, I need y'all to fast for me. And neither eat nor drink, how long? 3 days, nights, or days. So three is always a picture of the resurrection, but she said, I want y'all to fast and pray for 3 days and three nights. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. It's to say, now, I'm not supposed to go into the king. You can't go into the king before unless you call or he can have you executed. But she say, and if I perish, what? I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Chapter 5. Now it came to pass on the third day, this is after the 3 days that we talked about, they was fasting and praying, that Esther put on her royal apparel, she put on her queen attire, and stood in the inner court of the king's house. So she going, it was, she lived in a separate house from the king because she was the queen, and when the king had the government and his officials there, she wasn't supposed to be there. But anyway, she stood in the inner court of the king's house. Now, I want you to get a picture. She's standing over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne. So the king is in session, sitting upon the royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. Read verse 2. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. So he had to hold out a golden scepter, which is a picture of him sparing your life. Verse 3 said, then said the king unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Verse 4, that's the answer. If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day into the banquet that I have. So she said, I need you and just one person, Haman, to come. Verse 5 said, then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the feast, to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Verse 6.
And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of the wine,
what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, verse 8, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come into the banquet that I wish, and I will do tomorrow as the king. So Esther did not answer the question. She said, I tell you what, let me give you another banquet. So we're going to look at that. This is the first banquet. Then we're going to jump over to the second banquet. Look at chapter 7. You get that, say amen. So the king and Haman came to, it should be the second banquet with Esther the queen. Verse 2.
And he said again to Esther on the second
Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my request, my petition, and my people at my request. Verse 4. I and my people be destroyed to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondsmen and bondswomen, I had held my tongue altogether. The king. She said, now, if we were just going to be servants or slaves, I wouldn't have said no, but Haman wanted us to be killed. Now look at verse 5. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, the queen, who is he and where is he that thou dost presume in his heart to do this, to do so? Verse 6. Right there at the banquet, the adversary and the enemy is right here. It's Haman. Verse 7. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there were evil determined against him by the king. Verse 8. Of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now we're going to see this twice. Like I tell you, everything done twice. They covered Haman's face. And when they cover your face, they're getting ready to execute you. And then when they take him to be hanged, they're going to cover his face again. Verse 9 say, and Heraba, one of the chambers, said before the king, behold, also the gallons, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. Verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. We see two banquets. We're going to see two feasts. We're going to see a lot of twos in this situation. But what we want to talk about today is sometimes God seemed to be silent and delaying his answer, but he's in the background working it out for you. See, it looked like while they was praying, and we're going to get into that when I get into study, the king couldn't sleep that night. And God gave him a Chronicles, and then he read about Mordecai, and then he celebrated Mordecai, come to find out Haman had went into the king and slipped in and got a decree to kill all the Jews. But while all this going on, it looked like nothing is going on, but I want you to understand that even in our life, God is in the background working it out. The songs say he's working it out for you. That mean old Pharaoh, but God opened up the sea. He's working it out for you. So I want to talk to you briefly for a few minutes. So don't get discouraged. Don't get displaced. God is working it out for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day. Thank you for a day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the saints of God coming out to the house of prayer. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that we had. God, you chose a wife for Isaac. And we say it all the time. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you're going to date somebody that God has brought to you that's going to bring glory to God in the marriage. So we saw that with Isaac getting the wife, Rebecca. Then thank you for the testimonies that we heard. We heard about the testimony from my sister about Calandra, how she lost all that blood, but Lord, how you intervened and worked it out for the child and her, and she's doing great. We heard testimony from Sister Russell, how a car, the fender bender, and she got a letter from the attorney, how everything worked out. So Lord, thank you for the testimony. Thank you for the prayers. The prayers have been answered, Lord. Thank you for the congregational singing. Thank you for the covenant reading that we read this morning. Thank you for the praise team singing, Lord. Thank you for my wife doing the announcement. The offering, thank you for every offering has always met the bills. We've never been able to not meet our budget. So, Lord, thank you for that, Lord. And then thank you for the last two songs of the praise team song. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you hide me behind the cross, that you use me for a little while as a conduit, as a vessel fit for the master use, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we don't want to wait on God. But you need to wait sometime. Esther had to wait 3 days in prayer and fasting to go into the king. God is always working behind the scene. Amen? Behind the curtain. You'll find out in chapter 1 they had two feasts. They had a king of Xerxes feast with all his comrades, and then Esther had a feast. And that's where, Vashti had a feast, and that's where she lost her crown because she wouldn't come in. And then you find out they had a beauty pageant, and then Esther was picked. I want you to know providentially, God had already chose Esther to be the queen because God was looking down the corridor of time that the nation of Israel would need to be spared. And she is the vehicle that God's going to use to go to the king. Amen? So we see in our text, God is always doing things. The question is, why did not Esther come out the first time when she had the first feast? Why did she not come out? Well, sometimes the Bible said we need to be slow. James said like this, be quick to hear but slow to speak. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:19 that he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes your tongue needs to wait a few minutes before you condemn somebody, before you make a decision, before you ask for a request. So Esther did not go immediately in. She said, well, I tell you what, king, I'll tell you the next banquet. Why don't we just have a second banquet, and then I'll reveal to you what my request is. So I want to talk to you briefly just for a little while on God is always working it out for his honor and glory. Point number one, God is behind the scene. Sometimes we can't wait, but God is always rescuing his people at the very nick of time. The old folks say it like this. He may not come when you want to, but what? He's always on time. He's always in the nick of time. God works things out. In Esther chapter 2, Esther went in to the king, and she required nothing from Haggit. Haggit was one of the keepers, we believe was the eunuch that kept all the virgin. But if you notice, he gave Esther something to take into the queen. So we believe that he was the one that really was the one that was picking the person who would be the next queen. So he goes in. So God, I'm going to call this a chess game. God is moving a pawn on the chess game. See, when you're playing God, you need to realize that you're not going to win. See, Haman could not see it. But God is making his first move. His first move on the chessboard was to make Esther the queen. And now God is making a second move. If you remember, when Esther became queen, she appointed Mordecai to work at the gate. The gate is sort of like a security guard. And I'm pretty sure Gio knows when you're working at the gate. When you're working at the gate, you hear everything that's going on in the kingdom, everything that's going on in the prison. So while Mordecai was working there, he heard that there were two men that was going to try to execute the king. Y'all remember that? So Mordecai, here it is, providential. God got him in a certain place at the right time. He goes in and tells Esther, there's two men plotting to kill the king. So they investigate, the two men are found out, and they hung. But the king never did anything for Mordecai. And so it was penned in the king chronicles that Mordecai saved the king's life. Amen? That's God's second move on the chessboard. God take his knight, and he moved again on the chessboard. And then the third move is kind of ironic. God promotes Haman. We talked a little bit about that before. Why does God promote wicked people? Well, sometimes God put people in office to show you he's still God. See, sometimes we get caught up when we say, I don't understand why God did this. God promoted Haman because God is going to use Haman to show that he's still God. God promoted Pharaoh. He allowed the children of Israel to go down into Egypt because God said, I raised him up so that I can show my power. See, in Egypt, they had about 10 gods, and God had to send 10 plagues down to Egypt to humble Pharaoh. Y'all know the story. So sometimes we get a little perturbed when God allowed wickedness, but God raised up Pharaoh so that he made it show his power. So that's God's third move. And then we see a contrast between Esther and Daniel. Now, Esther was in captivity. She was down in Persia. Daniel was in captivity. He was down in Babylon. But we see two different scenarios. Esther was hidden who she was. She Mordecai told her, don't tell them you're a Jew. But Daniel revealed he was Jew. He told the king chamberlain, he said, now, I'm a Jew. I can't eat the king's meat. I can't drink the king's wine. He said, but what I want you to do is I want you to prove your servant 10 days. Y'all remember that? He said, would you give me some beans and water? And at the end of 10 days, Daniel's flesh will look better than all the people in captivity. So Daniel was saying, I'm a Jew, but Esther was hiding out. Esther was praying secretly, but Daniel prayed publicly. Remember when the king made a decree that anybody that prayed anything besides King Darius would be cast into the den of lions? And the Bible said, Daniel, open up his window. Since y'all know the decree, I want y'all to know I'm not changing my stand. I pray three times a day. So the Bible said, open up his window and turn to Jerusalem. And all the vice president was looking at him. They said, now I know he ain't going to pray. Because the king has an edict that if he pray, we're going to cast. And Daniel said, I want y'all to know that I'm going to pray like I've been. See, sometimes we wait till we're in an emergency. Let me tell you, pray when it's good, and pray when it's getting bad. So, you know, sometimes we wait when we don't have any money. Let me say, pray when you have money and pray when you don't have money. So when the time comes, it won't be like just in dire need. You've been praying all along. So Daniel said, you know what? I'm not going to change my stand. I'm not going to change my prayer. So we see two different scenarios. But I want you to know God is still working behind the scenes. God works everything out for his honor and glory. Esther had not showed her people, but God was still working for the Jew. Daniel revealed that he was a Jew, but God was still working for the Jew. We need to realize that God works in the midst of us no matter what. When Jesus came on the scene, the Pharisees said that John the Baptist didn't drink wine. He didn't even fellowship. But then Jesus, because Jesus started having sinners come around him, and because Jesus began to drink wine, they called him a wine bibber. Y'all remember that? And Jesus said, look, it don't matter what you do. John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and they didn't have nothing to do with him. And then Jesus came, and he was with the sinners, and drinking with them. Then they said they had. So the people go. They don't want God. They don't have nothing. No matter how you come. So you see, God was still working for Esther's behalf, even though she was incognito, even though she was hiding out, God was still working his plan out for her. Let's bring it up to the 21st century. God know where you're in. God know what you need. God know how many bills you got. Sister Ross, I know this wasn't in my message, but God know what you need. And guess what? Just like my sister retired just like me. God know my need. And the Bible say, David said like this, I've been young and I've been old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken. No, it's what? Seed begging bread. And then Jesus took it up like this. He said, well, have y'all ever seen the birds? He said, let me help you out. The birds don't sow and they don't reap, but your heavenly Father feed them. Yeah. Aren't you not much more than a bird? You know, sometimes we get on, well, Lord, how am I going to pay my bill? Don't you know God already knows? Lord, how am I going to meet my need? God know what you need. She's not here today, but she came in on Wednesday and she said, I got a $26,000 hospital bill for my high blood pressure and my diabetes. And she said, I need help. And we say, well, the only person we know to get help from is the Lord. Amen. When my daughter was on life support, she had a $97,000 hospital bill. I'm here to tell you, every bit of it was paid by the Lord. Amen. Yes. God will work it out. God has a plan for you. Let's not give up. Let's not throw in the towel. Let's not quit. God is working it out for you. Like the songwriter said, he's working it out for you. He's working it out for me. He's working it out because you're his people. And if you're his people, God has a plan for you. Point number one, God is behind the scene. Point number two, there's two books in the Bible that God's name is not mentioned. He's not mentioned in Esther, and he's not mentioned in Ecclesiastes. But I want you to know that it may not be mentioned, but it's incognito, it's implied. God is in this book working it out. You can't find his name, but it is in his name backwards. I'm going to give you four places that's in the book of Esther that God's name is. First of all, when there was a decree that Vashti would not come in, Melamon said, we need to make a decree that goes out that all the wives would honor their husband. So in Esther 1:2, he said, all the wives shall give to their husband honor, both great and small. That is God turning back the counsel of man. It was Ephesians written all over again, where it says, wives, submit to your husband and give him honor and love and prayer. So that's why today when we marry people, and again, I married Gio and them, we say the husband is to love his wife, but the wife is to do what? Submit to her husband. Submit and obey her husband. I hate to tell y'all this, but I've had people come to me and say, can you take that out, preacher? I said, no, I can't take it out. I can't. That's the Bible. The Bible says God made him the head. I didn't make him the head. I didn't make myself the head. God made me the head because I'm a man. So I have to honor what thus said the Lord. Amen? God did that in the book of Esther. The second thing in the book of Esther where God's name is mentioned is when Haman got promoted. And Haman got promoted, and Haman was all rejoicing. And you know, he went home and told his wife, the king promoted. And at the same time he was talking, they said, Esther, need you come back. And he came back to the banquet. And when he came back to the banquet, Esther didn't reveal to him. Esther said, I want y'all to come to my second banquet. Now, Haman not knowing that second banquet was going to reveal him, he's still rejoicing. But the Bible said when he got to the gate and he saw Mordecai, wouldn't bow, he got furious. He said, all this, I'm the second in command. I'm invited to the king banquet. And that man, he said, you wait till I get home. God was right then beginning to work that plan out to expose him. Now, I hate to tell y'all this, but he had a wicked wife. He got down to his wife and he said, you know, I've been promoted. And you know, the king and Esther, and she said, well, why don't you make a gallons and hanging? You know, his wife was in on the plot, not knowing that she's setting it up for her own husband to be home. Well, if I were you, I would get rid of him. You the second in command. Go ahead. And he went back. That's why I like the Bible. It's so intriguing. He went back and made some galleons to hang Haman on. And then the very day he was going to go in and ask the king for it, the king had just read in his Mordecai was the one that spared his life. And the king said, come on in, Haman, I got to ask you something. Come on in here, boy. What should be done to the man who the king won't exalt? Now, he already puffed up now. Not knowing that God working, finna expose his evil person. He said, well, he must be talking about me. You know, I'm the king's right-hand man. I'm the king, make all decisions. He said, I tell you what, king, if you want to exalt this man that you so love, put the king crown on his head. Get the king royal clothes and put on it. Get the king horse, mule, and let him be betrayed down the parade, down the city, and show everybody, say, this is the man that the king wanted honor. Now, he in his mind, he's thinking, oh, wait. King said, oh, that's the greatest plan I ever heard. He said, I tell you what, I need you to, you know that man in the gate named Mordecai? I need you to take my crown and take my robe. And I need you to put it on him, and then I need you to put him on my horse. Then I need you to walk in front of him and lead the charge. That had to blow his mind. But guess what? He knew the king. He had to honor the king. And so the story goes, is here he is, got a plot to kill this man, but yet he parading him in the town. This is the man that the king won't honor. Mordecai. Crown on his head. Now, this is not in the Bible, but as I was reading Josephus and Eusebius, they said that Haman's daughter couldn't believe that he was parading a Jew around. And now, again, it's not in the Bible. I'm just telling you what the theologians said. And they said she came out with a bucket of water and dumped her. You sorry thing. You carrying that Mordecai around. She dumped her. Now, that's not in the Bible, so I just wanted to give you that. But anyway, He drops his head and runs down home. Down in the dumps. Y'all remember the story? But he didn't have time. Because by the time he got there, they said, Esther, invite you to the second banquet. But his wife and his comrade had little sense. They said, oh, if you ain't been able to win over him now, you ain't going to win. Say, if something done changed, God done flipped. You need to be careful. When God flip it, you ain't going to change it. Amen? So let's go back. So that's God was working in the process of overruling, turning back Haman. God is in the process of bringing back the end of Haman. The name Jehovah is not in the book of Esther, but God came down to deliver his people, just like God came down when Pharaoh was abusing his people and the people was in sorrow and anger. And the Bible says God saw that his people were suffering, and God told Moses, I will come down and deliver my people. When God saw Haman, and Haman had got a decree, and the king had been manipulated in the sign of decree to kill all the Jews, God looked up in heaven and said, I'll come down and I'll take care of Haman. And God was working it out for his honor and glory. Amen? Don't ever, hear me well, don't ever try to annihilate God's people. Or let me just bring this up to today's terminology. I won't even fool with Christians that wrong to God, because when you mess with a Christian, you're messing with God. Matter of fact, Jesus told Paul this when Paul was on the road to Damascus and Paul was crucified. Y'all know Paul was locking up the Christian. And Jesus made this statement. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? He didn't say nothing about the Christian. And Saul said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Who was Paul persecuting? The church. So let me tell you, you need to be careful when you put your hand on God's people. Amen? Point number one, God is working it out behind the scenes. Point number two, the name of God may not be mentioned. And by the way, the whole Bible is inspired. So for people to say, well, I don't even read the book of Esther because that God ain't in it. Let me tell you that Esther is inspired because it was written by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the book of Ecclesiastes said, well, the name of God is under the sun. I'm going to tell you, God is still implied, and it's in the canon of the book, the 66th book. You need to read the book of Ecclesiastes because it's got some truths in it. Amen? God's name is mentioned and implied. And then the last point as we close, how you know God is working it out? Because King Ahasuerus or King Xerxes did not reward Mordecai immediately. He procrastinated. And while he was procrastinating, God was using that time, that night between the two banquets, to speak to him about raising up Mordecai. Amen? But before that, Mordecai had to rebuke Esther. Esther was a good girl, but she was afraid to go in. And Mordecai went and told her, she said, first of all, she sent Mordecai some clothes. She said, will you go put on some clothes? I don't understand why he's sitting at the king gate and sacking, costing that. Y'all remember that? And she didn't know what was going on. Now you'd have thought, but back then, the women didn't get in the government party. So she didn't know that it was creepy. And so Mordecai said, she sent one of her chambers, she sent the clothes to him, and Mordecai sent them back. He said, that I don't need no clothes. And then she sent him a second time. She said, well, go find out what's going on. He went back and he said, tell Esther that there's an edict out to kill all her people. And tell her, don't think that she's going to survive because she in the queen. You know, sometimes when, and I hate to say it, sometimes when we get up to about our folks, you know, we forget it. Somebody said, you don't, oh no, it ain't no problem up here. Everything is fine up here until they put out. And so he told Esther, don't think you're going to escape the king's commandment because you a queen. He said, you need to go into the king and tell him and ask for your life. And Esther came back. She said, well, look, I can't go into the queen, the king. I hadn't been called. In other words, she was saying, you want me to put my life on the line? And you know what he said? He said, you don't go in. God going to deliver us by somebody else. He said, God sent you there for such a time as this. I want you to hear me well. Time in God's eyesight is different from mine. God has a special time for everything. God had a time when you were born. God had a time when you were born. God had a time when his church was born. God has a special time. And he told her, God raised you up for such a time. And after he rebuked her, she finally came to her senses. She said, I tell you what, go tell Mordecai to pray for me and my maidens. And we'll do likewise. And for 3 days, we'll fast and pray. I know you might not want to hear this, but you have to fast. See, some people don't like to fast, but let me, Jesus said this, this kind come out only by fasting and prayer. See, sometimes the struggles get so hard. Sometimes the road gets so rugged that I can't eat. And sometimes I have to say, Lord, I just need to pray. Lord, I'm not eating. I can't eat. I don't have an appetite. My wife asked me several times. She said, do you want something to eat? I said, I don't have an appetite. She said, you don't have an appetite? I said, no, something is going on in my family, in my life, that I got to stop. I can't eat. And there have been times I got phone calls and people say, would you fast and pray with me 3 days or 2 days? Now, y'all understand fasting and prayer. The Bible says when you fast, you don't publicize it. So I was working at the school, and at the school I would, have lunch with the kids. And every now and then they would give us pizza. So there would be a couple of times when I would have my students in there, and they order pizza. And just a couple of times I was fast. And the kids didn't quite understand it because they would say, Mr. Jeter, pizza here. I said, well, I'm not eating today. What? We got Supreme. We got meat lovers. We got anchovies. We got olives. We got beef. We got cheese. You gonna not eat? I said, no, I'm not eating today. But I didn't. I was on a fast. See, it's one thing about when you're on a fast, the Bible says when you pray, go until you're sick. When you're fasting, the only body know about it, you and God. And so when your stomach is growling, it's saying to you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I can't eat right now, but I know you're working it out. Oh, Jesus was in the wilderness, and the devil came and said, I know you're hungry. I hear your stomach growling, and I got in pain. He said, why don't you take those stones and turn them to bread? Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus was saying, I can do without. And then the disciple, when he was at the woman at the well, the disciple went by meat. And when they came back, Jesus was talking to the woman. And then they said, who gave meat that you know not of? He said, because my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So Esther had to pray. And then she made that decision. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to put my life on the line. By the way, I want you to hear me well. We're going to have to put our life on the line for our families. The devil's destroying our families. We're going to have to put our life on the line for our children. The devil's destroying our children. I don't know about you, but I have to cry out to God for my family. I have to cry out to God for my church. We're going to have to put our life on the line for our church. We're going to have to put our life on the line for our community. You know what? We just heard about two massive shooting and killing. Let me tell you, if the Christians don't do something, we're going to rule the race. We need to cry out to God. We need to fast and pray that God send help. God send a revival. God send somebody with the word of God. A lot of times, and I hate to preach on this, and I don't want to be pro-black, but that white supremacist is wrong. Somebody need to tell her. I saw it on Facebook. This man was at a store, and it just so happened to be somebody was a friend of mine, and she went in to buy her meal, and a guy stood up next to her and said, I want to pay for your meal. He said, all this mess, this white man, all this mess going on in the world, I want you to know that I'm not in it. I want to show my love to let you know. She was black, and she had a child. I want you to let you know that I still love people, and I love God, and I want to pay for your meal. And she put it on Facebook because there's some people that are still living for the Lord. Amen. How bad it get. But we need more. We need more. You know why the world? Oh, y'all know why. You know why God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah? It wasn't because of the wickedness. If he had found 10 Christians, 10, and you'd have thought Lot would have had 10. Lot was down there, he had a wife, and he had two virgin daughters, and he had $2. And so Abraham said, well, if you get 10, Lord, I know you're going to spread the city. I know 10. Lot family, him, his two unmarried daughters, 10. God told Lot, said, you need to get up out of here. I'm finna destroy this city. Abraham said, but you said 10. I ain't got 10. You know why God is destroying America? I want you to hear me well. Christians not living nothing. We need to rise up and take this country back. This country was found on Judo-Christian value. We done changed the Constitution. We done changed the morality. We done added all this stuff, same-sex marriage. We done added all this stuff that you can't discipline your child. We done added all this stuff. We have gone away from the precepts of the Word of God. That's why we're struggling, amen? God working it out. Esther had to touch the golden sceptre. The golden sceptre is a picture of God sparing her of salvation. The king said, come on in, Esther. I give you your request. What was the king to think about Esther risking her life? What was going through his mind? King Ahasuerus, he couldn't sleep that night. What was going through his mind? Why did Esther come in twice? Why would Esther come in? The king knew it was something that was very important. The reality even today is there are people that are anti-Semitic throughout the world today. We need to be passionate. We need to love the Jew. I know a lot of people hate the Jew, but let me tell you, they're God's people. Hitler killed 6 million Jews. Pharaoh and Herod had the Jew. We need to love God's people. I'm here to tell you, I got some history for you, and I give you this as close. In England, they expelled the Jews in 1290. In France, they expelled the Jews in 1360. In Spain, when Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492, they expelled the Jew. In Portland, in 1497, they expelled the Jew. In Germany, in Nazi Germany with Hitler, they expelled the Jews and they killed the Jew. In Australia, in 1420, they expelled the Jew. They took their property. They killed the Jew. And Haman, right in the Bible, is trying to kill the Jews in Persia. But I'm telling you today, we need to love God's people. By the way, not only do we need to love the Jews, we need to love the Hispanics. We need to love all nationalities, all culture, all people. You know why? They all are created in the image of God. Who am I to say I'm more superior than somebody else? King Ahasuerus honored honored Mordecai. And after he honored Mordecai, God raised him up. Next week, we'll look at Esther going in and having the laws changed and the Jews retaliating and sparing their lives. But what I want you to get from this message today is that he may not come when you want to, but he's on time. I want you to get from this message. It might look like he's not working, but I want you to know that he's working it out for you. I want you to know that,
like the song said, when Jesus had 5,000, only what? 2 fish and 5 barley loaves of bread. God was working it out because he had to be in and sat down on the grass. And the Bible says he prayed and said, Lord God, Father, in the name of Jesus, he broke the bread and he fed 5,000 hungry servants. So I want you to know that when you think he's not working it out, he's working it out. Let me preach a little bit this morning. Sister Russell need a job. My younger daughter need a lawyer job. My sister over there was looking for a job after retirement. God worked it out. God worked it out. I'm going to tell you, I retired. I'm going to give y'all a little bit of my testimony. I retired from TVA and say, well, God, I'm a pastor now. I've been wanting to pastor for years. In 2006, God brought that pastor to an end. God, what you gonna do? God said, I'm working it out. I'm working it out. And then God gave me a job at the school. And then at the school, they pulled back the budget. And God said, what you gonna do? God said, I'm working it out. I'm working it out. And then I started doing something my wife didn't understand. She said, why are you doing that job? You know, you're just waiting again. But I want her to know, she know that I was a top agent for the last 2 months. I showed before the school. And then I just signed, chatted with prayer. And CGL, let me tell you, God didn't work it out. You never know. I didn't know the day I was over there. I was over there all week before they had the celebration. And I was talking to the headmaster. And I was talking to all the teachers. And then I found out, I'll tell you how God is moving out. Found out that the guy that was over the communication program was one of my friends. Well, they didn't know him. And then as I was working it out, they were sitting there working out, the lady came and said, you need to come back on Thursday. I said, what's going on Thursday? She said, we're going to fill the streets. And we're gonna launch in our students. I said, well, she said, we did it last year. She said, you don't want that Bible? I don't want that Bible. She said, I'll give you a flyer. She gave me a flyer. And so I had my grandson, just so happened to have a grandson who's a young boy. And I said, I'm gonna get up early. I'm gonna go. When I got there, I saw the cars lining up. There were so many cars, they had to park them all the way to the church parking lot. And I'm telling you, as I was walking in, lo and behold, I see Gio. And I said, God is working out. And here I am, just now. Know the principal, know the head man, know all the people in the school. And then all the other people start coming out of the community. And I said, isn't that might look like, I want y'all to hear me word. It may look like our families are being destroyed. I want you to know God is behind the scenes. It may look like that our kids are not being trained right, or we've been disrespected, or we've been considered second class or minority. But let me tell you, God, put me in that. It may look like that you know, and sometimes I get down and done, I look at my house and I say, well, I need a new roof. I look at my other house, my rental house, and somebody stole the HVAC system. I look at my other house, somebody stole my car, and God worked it out. Because the very day that my car got stole, I got a brand new car. I'm telling you, God is working out. God is working out. So don't give up. Don't give up. Matter of fact, I'll just say this at the close. The old car had, it was leaking oil. I had to take it back to the shop. Not only was it leaking oil, it had a gasket over it missing. And so they was fussing at me about, gee, how long are you going to keep this old ratty old car? And so when my car got stolen, my daughter said, Dad, what you worried about? Why would anybody want to steal that ratty car? and the people I worked with say, the insurance did what? God was working out. So what we need to do, remember, God is working it out.
Amen.
For his good and for his glory.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. Thank you for how Esther, even though she didn't understand, she's a young girl raised to be queen. She did not understand everything was going on.